Speaking of the Bible, why don't we open our Bibles and see what it has to say to us today? The scriptures are alive, and it helps to build our faith. I remember this great story, and we'll read it here in just a minute, where Jesus was teaching the disciples on faith. There was a fig tree in Jerusalem, and Jesus wanted figs, and the tree didn't produce figs, so he cursed the tree, and the tree instantly died. And the disciples were like, okay, we've seen some cool stuff, but that was amazing. He just cursed this tree, and it, like, died. They were amazed at his power and his authority. So Jesus used this as an opportunity to teach on faith. So turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 11, or just take some notes, and of course the scriptures will be on the screen as well. Mark chapter 11 and verse 23, Jesus is telling the disciples, listen guys, I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. Jesus was trying to get the disciples to understand that there is nothing that is impossible with God. But when you have to make that declaration, that it needs to come out of your lips, that when you speak to the mountain, be thrown into the sea, that's when the mountain gets thrown into the sea. And he was saying, I spoke over the fig tree and it died. There's an important message that Jesus is trying to clarify, that we have faith in our hearts, but it has to be spoken out of our mouth. And I've noticed that when we speak out, even if it's in a little bit of faith, it ends up building more faith for the future. I mean, I know that sounds kind of weird, but when we speak out, mountain thrown into the sea, it's like it sets the course. It sets the destiny for what we're about to walk into. But Jesus is trying to get them to understand you have to speak it. Let me just use an analogy of an ancient, 200-300 years ago, a ship in Boston is going to set off to go back to England. So, but he said, maybe we'll go down to the Caribbean. So the crew doesn't know what direction they're going. So captain gets orders, looks and says, all right, fellas, we're going east. We're going over to England. So instantly, all the crew know they have to snap into action. They're going to need their warm weather gear, not their sandals and flip-flops. They're going to need to batten down certain things because the North Atlantic can be tough. And when they set their charts and they look at the stars and all those things, they're heading east. But it came because a captain made a declaration, and then everybody got on board behind that declaration, and then their longing and all plans are and all motion starts moving towards England. Speaking of England, on July 4th, 1776, the founders of our nation made a declaration. They said, hey, England, we're no longer your subjects. We're no longer a British colony. But here's the funny thing. We were. On July 4, 1776, we were a British colony. Most Americans still spoke with a British accent because they were new immigrants to this country. But they made a declaration. And the declaration was like a line in the sand that said, no, from this point on, we're changing the course. We're changing the declaration. I mean, the direction of our whole nation. That's how important our words are, how important our declarations are. Baptism is a declaration. They're making a public declaration of what happened in their hearts. They're making that public declaration of faith. The funny thing is, we misunderstand the importance of a declaration. Michael Scott didn't quite understand the declaration of bankruptcy.
I declare bankruptcy!
So Michael didn't quite understand how one declares bankruptcy. And in fact, later in that episode, Oscar comes into Michael's office and says, hey, Michael, just so you know, you can't just say bankruptcy and declare bankruptcy. And Michael goes, I didn't say it, I declared it. So we know that a declaration is a bold proclamation. And I'm not asking you to make wild, bold proclamations. I'm asking you to make biblical declarations in 2020. That you're proclaiming biblical truth and changing the course of your life this year. You're like that captain saying, we're heading east, we're going to England, and by faith, we're going to get there. That's what your declarations do. Real quick, Romans chapter 4, talking about the faith of Abraham, and he said that Abraham believed on the Lord, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things which do not exist as though they did. That's what faith is. You're speaking something in faith, in God, that does not yet exist, but it will. Because why? Because you speak it into existence. Now, this message was first popularized in the early 1990s in the Spirit-filled charismatic church. And people would preach whole sermon series on making biblical declarations. And it was kind of nicknamed the name it, claim it style of faith preaching. Or, you know, blab it and then grab it. You know, whatever, if you were positive or against it, whichever way you look at it. And honestly, it started out good. People were getting into these scriptures on making biblical declarations and applying them to their life. But here's the funny thing. I think the devil realized we were onto something. So he perverted the truth of that message and then got the church to swing the pendulum way over into crazy town, where we were making biblical declarations, but they were bananas. They were like these wild Hail Mary, like, I am rich, you know, I have a private jet, I am famous. And it just got so weird and so weak and so me-centered, we missed the important message of the biblical declaration. So the church did what she always does. We swung the pendulum way over here. And in the 2000s, suddenly it was cool to be poor and broken and sad. And we don't make biblical declarations. We just study the Bible in earnest, quietly. Just whatever, just do it quietly. It's a quiet place, Bible study. That's what you do. I want to try something new for 2020. Can we go back to making honest to God biblical declarations so we can advance the kingdom and not ourselves by faith? So listen, let me help you. Let me teach you. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Faith comes from hearing the good news about Jesus Christ. So let me let you in a little secret. Your tongue is attached to your brain, which is attached to your ears. So when you speak a biblical truth out loud, you hear it. And what happens is it builds your faith. It's like a cycle. If you have a little mustard seed of faith enough to declare a biblical truth over your life for the future, you hear it and then it builds more faith. So we need to hear something different if we're going to believe something different. Because all we hear is fear. All we hear is worry. All we hear is doubt. All we hear is negative. All we hear is lack. And we hear that, so we have more faith in fear. We have more faith in lack than we do in God. So we need to declare by faith. No, no, I declare for something different in my life. I declare that this biblical declaration will change the course of my life. And we're like, well, I'll declare it if like an angel comes and speaks to my life. Don't wait for an angel. You come to you and speak biblical truth over your life. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. The tongue has the power of life and death. Your tongue has the power of life and death. Your tongue is very, very powerful. The words that we speak, what we declare, is extremely powerful. We were created in the image of God. Now, let me point this out in this way. If we've been created in the image of God, the person in whom we were created has tremendous creative power when he speaks. Look at Genesis chapter 1 and 2. The Lord spoke creation into existence. The Lord declared sky. He declared water. He declared land. He declared and things were created. So then God says that those declarations change and alter futures. They alter destiny. So life and death is in the power of our tongue. Because we are created in God's image, we create when we speak. We create faith. We create life, or we can create death. We can create fear. The choice is ours. So look, go back to Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3. You guys read it in your Read Scripture app on, I think, day one. Adam and Eve were given a choice, life or death. They chose poorly. I double dog dare you that this year, choose wisely, choose to speak life. Speak life when you speak. Don't even entertain words of fear and doubt and unbelief. Make biblical declarations over your year, and your whole destiny will change for good just by speaking biblical truth. Because why? Your tongue is powerful. It has the power of both life and death when you speak. Now, most people have heard this verse, that the power of the tongue has life and death. The problem is, we always bent towards the beginning. Yeah, there's life when we speak. But let me just warn you, there is a warning there. There is also death when we speak. That you have to be careful because we can speak death over people. And unfortunately, this is true, that sometimes the very best thing a Christian can do is stop talking. Because if you are a Christian, If you have the power of God living on the inside of you, if your words create when you speak, you can create life or death. And if you can't say something nice, then you should stop talking. It's like if you were teaching somebody, like you're teaching your children, or they're old enough to start messing with fireworks on the 4th of July, and you're a good parent, not the parents that ended up on the news. Like, you know, you want your kids to have fun, but you need to teach them that they need to have a lot of respect for the power that is in these things. Or, you know, maybe you're a handgun family and you're taking your kid out to the range and you're having a gun safety class and you're going through it, you know, step by step. But then, you know, like grandpa comes after they've had a few lessons and says, boy, why don't you try my 45? And you know, like, whoa, he's 10, grandpa. Like, we don't need to, it's an arm cannon, you know. And the kid's like, yeah, I want to try it. Like, you're going to treat that thing with the utmost respect. You should treat your tongue with more respect because of the power that it can yield. People can get hurt, even die. So you need to be careful over the words that you speak. Of course, we always know, Mama used to say, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Well, your preacher says, if you don't have anything kingdom to say, don't say anything at all. If you don't have anything life-giving to say, don't say anything at all. If you don't have something faith-building to say, don't say anything at all. Speak life or don't say anything at all. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed from your mouth, but only what is good and necessary. Only what is necessary. Let that be a meme. Only what is necessary for edification, that it might impart grace. Basically, speak life or nothing at all. Because how many times have our faithless words actually destroyed the plan of God for our life? Now, you might not think that's true, but I can prove it to you in Scripture. But sometimes God has a plan and a path laid out for us, and it is our tongue, it's our words, it's our declarations that are not made in faith that end up destroying the plan of God for your life. I'm not going to take the time to read the story, but I remind you, in Luke chapter 1, right before the angel came and spoke to Mary about Jesus, the angel went and spoke to Zacharias and Elizabeth. And he said, listen, Elizabeth's going to get pregnant even though she's in her old age and she's past the baby-making years. And Zachariah, you're going to be the father of the Waymaker. You're going to be the father of this guy that we would eventually call John the Baptist. And he would prepare the way for the Lord. But Zachariah knew that Elizabeth's baby-making factory had been shut down. Zachariah knew that they hadn't invented the low-T clinic yet. Zechariah knew that there were certain medical restrictions to what the angel was saying. So Zechariah began to question the angel and question the plan of God. So God shut Zechariah's mouth for the entire pregnancy. He was mute. He could not speak for the entire pregnancy because the Lord knew that Zechariah didn't have enough faith for this plan to come true in his life. So rather than allowing Zechariah to speak against the plan of God, he just shut him up. Our words can advance the plan of God for your life or destroy the plan of God for your life. So, man, I'm telling you, speak life. Speak the kingdom over your health, over your finances, over your car, over your children, over your work, over your marriage and family, over our government, over our president. You speak life. If you are what you eat, then you live out what you speak. It sets the course. So only speak with what lines up with the kingdom of God of faith. I don't know what your native language is, whether it's English or Spanish or Swedish or whatever your native language should be faith. And whatever language you speak commonly, let's let that be your second language. But the first thing that you speak, the thing that comes common to you is faith. That you speak faith declarations over your life. Over every situation. And here's the funny thing. Remember that scripture that says he speaks to things as if they are, even though they're not yet? You're praying, you're speaking, you're declaring things that haven't happened yet. So instead of begging God for 300 people to get right with Jesus, let's just declare that it's a finished work. Let's make a declaration that 300 people, it hasn't happened yet, but I'm declaring it. I'm setting the course. I'm charting that. Let's declare that the $7 million we need to revitalize this campus, that it's here, it's there. We don't have to like beg God for it. It hasn't happened yet, but I'm declaring it as if it's a done deal. I'm making room. I'm expanding room by faith. I'm pushing out fear. I'm pushing out unbelief. I'm pushing out even the natural constraints so that God can move supernaturally. So you always want to make room for more. You always want to make room for the better things that God needs to do. And I will say this, not every declaration needs to be made. Have you ever asked somebody, like the room is good, the room is fun, the office, the living room, the whatever it is, the Starbucks, like it's fun, it's got a fun vibe and you and your friends are having fun and whatever. And then somebody comes in a few minutes late and you're like, hey, how you doing? And their response is, oh, I'm okay, I'm tired. Okay, that didn't need to be said because you made a declaration that brought the room down. Now, you don't need to lie, but you could just, you know, not speak or lie like we do and just say, oh, I'm good. That'd be fine too. But every situation, every room you walk into should get better because you walked in. You are a carrier of the kingdom of God. You are a carrier of the light and the love and the truth about God. It's in you. So wherever you go, you're carrying the kingdom of God. So the room should get better, not worse, when you walk in and start talking. Because you speak life over people. You speak blessing over people. You speak truth and encouragement over people. And you're like, listen, listen, listen. This sounds like a bunch of fairy tales. This sounds like a bunch of just like, you know, hocus pocus, like I've gone to some get rich quick scheme, like Tony Robbins is going to jump out and he's going to tell me that I buy my millionaire real estate plan and everything's going to be great and I'm going to be a millionaire real estate developer. I don't know, maybe. Your words are powerful. What are you speaking? What do you want to have happen in the next few years or moments in your life? Because your words set the direction for your life. And you're like, no, dude, this sounds just like next, give me another sermon that's not weird. James chapter 3 and verse 4. James 3 and verse 4. A small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the waves and wind are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing, and it can make grand speeches, but a tiny spark will set a forest on fire. Now, James is actually trying to give a warning to the church. Be careful what you speak. His warning is very clear. Little words are like powerful weapons, and they can create huge consequences. But let's not necessarily take it as a warning. Let's not necessarily take it negative. Let's flip it upside down. If a massive ship can change direction based on a tiny rudder, your tongue, your words, can change the direction of your life. By speaking life, speaking truth, speaking blessing, speaking favor, speaking prosperity, speaking joy over your life. You have that power in your tongue. So these biblical declarations, when they're spoken aloud, you will change the energy of faith and people's faith will begin to rise. And you will also hear it. And it's reciprocal. Your own faith will begin to arise. You're going to start to believe it. That's why I would encourage you every single day, find some, and we're going to email you some biblical declarations to declare over your life and then begin to expect God to move in those areas. If the captain sets out the course and tells the crew, we're heading to England, and they set the sails and they start moving east, after, what is it, 3-4 weeks, when you take your smoke break, you're going to take it on the bow of the ship and just start looking. You're looking for those hills. You're looking for land because you feel like you're getting close to your destination. The same is true with biblical declarations. The more you speak them over time, it begins to build faith on the inside of you. And you start leaning into life, looking for the direction that God is leading you, looking for his blessing, looking for his breakthrough, looking for healing. You start to expect God's kingdom in your life. Because we often will face a problem, and instead of declaring that mountain be thrown into the sea, instead of making a biblical declaration over the problem, we often get really impressed with the problem. And you're like, wow, that's a big problem I'm facing. That's a really big deficit in my bank account. That's a really big C in front of the cancer that the doctor told me about. That's a really big problem. And we meditate on the problem. And we think about the problem. And we feel sorry for ourselves about the problem. Woe is me and my problem. And then we pray, but not really. We're just begging God. We're not praying biblical declarations of faith. We're just, woe is me, begging God like an orphan begs for scraps of food, not like a son and a daughter goes to their heavenly father and says, Lord, I'm believing that you're going to move in my area. Now, hey, if that whining, fearful begging is working for you, keep up the good work. I think we should try something different in 2020. I think we should speak life. I think we should make biblical declarations every day. You're not going to think your way into a breakthrough. You're going to speak your way into a breakthrough. I won't read the story, but here's the example. Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, he takes off into the desert for 40 years. He's out in the desert. The devil. You don't usually wrestle with the devil, but he came to Jesus. You might get some little third-class demon messing with you, but you don't have the actual devil messing with you. Do you guys know this, right? The devil is not omnipresent. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. The devil is one entity, so he's not messing with you. I'm not saying you're not messing with the demonic. The Bible says that we're going to wrestle against spiritual powers of darkness, but you're wrestling with some third-rate demon that, you know, you have so much more power and authority in Jesus' name over. Don't even worry about it. Back to the story. Jesus is in the desert. I could have just read the story faster than this. Jesus is in the desert. The devil comes to tempt Jesus away from his ministry. But Jesus knows the direction of his life. Jesus knows where he's going. He's not going to change course. So what did Jesus do? He declared scripture to the devil so that he would stay on course. So sometimes we believe a lie so long that we have no biblical direction, we have no kingdom direction for our lives. And we have spoken so much death with our mouth, so much death with our tongue, so much fear with our mouths, that if we were to ever start speaking life and speaking truth, it would feel really awkward. So if you're one of those negative Nancys where you never have anything nice to say, and you begin to try this, and you get the email and you read the biblical declarations and you like, just try it, it's going to feel really weird. It's not going to feel sincere. It's going to feel awkward because you have been using your tongue for something it wasn't created for so long. But you have to keep at it. You have to exercise the tongue. The tongue is a muscle. And if a muscle has atrophied, the only way to spark it back into life is to use it. So use your tongue for what it was actually created for and speak life. So we are on day 12 of 21 days of prayer and fasting. Man, I double dog dare you. I encourage you to speak and declare that 300 people are getting born again this year. That half of them, 150 people, are going to be baptized in water this year. That God is going to help us raise the $7 million we need to revitalize this campus. Speak it, declare it. Thank the Lord as if it's already done, because that's what faith does. Faith speaks to things as though they are, even though they're not yet. We're speaking by faith. Did that help you this morning? Yeah. Hop up on your feet. I'm going to help you. I'm going to get you started right now. I'm going to give you a few biblical declarations. If you believe it in your heart, I want you to repeat this after me. Say, my prayers are powerful and effective. God richly supplies all my needs. I set the course of my life with my words. I am dead to sin and alive to Christ. I walk in ever-increasing health and prosperity. God is on my side, therefore I cannot be defeated. I am the head and not the tail. I have kingdom wisdom, authority, and ideas. I have a sound mind. I think the right thoughts. I say the right words. I make the right decisions in every situation I face. I expect that today will be the best day of my life. Spiritually, emotionally, relationally, financially, in Jesus' name. Because God is my Father, I am His child. I am blessed. And there's going to be scripture reference verses to go along with all those, everything you just said, the Bible says about you. and more. So you're declaring biblical truth over your life. I want to lead you in a couple different prayers. So let's just maybe come to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I want us to repent if we have used our tongue for death and fear and unbelief. If we've used our tongue to cut other people down. If we've used our tongue for cursing and not blessing. So if that's you, it's probably all of us, just between you and God. So, Lord, I repent and I ask that you would forgive me for speaking death. Lord, I repent and I ask that you would forgive me for not using my tongue for life. Lord, I repent and I ask that you would forgive me for every time I spoke faithless over a situation you wanted me to speak faith into. Lord, I ask that you would forgive me. Lord, I repent, listen to this, I repent for every time you wanted me to speak truth, speak kingdom, speak love, speak life, and I said nothing. Wow. Use me, Lord, to speak life and truth and blessing to people. Use me, Lord, to make every room I walk into better because I advance the kingdom of God wherever I go. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let me just talk at you for a minute. You can't make a biblical declaration if you don't believe in the guy that wrote the book. Like, it all starts with believing that God is real. It all starts with believing that God, his kingdom has come on the earth through Jesus. In fact, the Bible says that we can't even be saved unless we declare that Jesus is Lord. If you've never seen this verse before, look up at the screen, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, and you believe it in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Even getting right with God starts with a declaration of your mouth, that you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. You believe in your heart that your sin has separated you from God. So in just a moment, I'm gonna lead you in that prayer if you wanna pray it with me. And you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord of my heart. He's Lord of my mouth. He's Lord of my words. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that this would be a year of breakthrough. I pray that this would be a year unlike we've ever seen in our church, in our community, in these mid-cities. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus for heaven to come on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I'm praying and declaring that life, that miracles will happen here, that 300 people will be born again. Lord, that you will have your way in our life groups and in our dream teams, in every heart, every life, every marriage, every family, in Jesus' name. In our finances, in our health, that we would walk in blessing, we'd walk in protection, we'd walk in prosperity, we would walk in wisdom, we would walk in self-discipline and self-control. Help us, Lord. A lot of us, we've never really used our tongue for good. We've never really used our tongue for life. So I pray that you would help us to loosen up this atrophied muscle. Some of us, Lord, have allowed sin and unbelief into our hearts. And whether we've never really known you or we've walked away from you, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that we're going to get right with you. So if you're here this morning and you'd be honest with God and say, man, I'm not right with God. I've allowed sin in my life. I've allowed my heart to get cold or crud. Maybe you've never known God. Today would be the day that you repent of your sin and you declare that Jesus is the Lord of your life. It would be our highest honor to lead you in that prayer, but I can't make the decision for you. Do you believe? Do you believe that God sent his only son Jesus to this earth 2,000 years ago? Do you believe that he died on the cross for our sin? He took out my sin to the cross, and that on that third day he rose again and forever has defeated sickness and death and hell. If you believe it, I'd like to lead you in that prayer. So whether this is your first time praying a prayer like this, or maybe the first time in a long time, today is your day. I would like to know who I'm praying for. So if that's you this morning, would you shoot your hand up real high and say, preacher, pray for me. Just shoot your hand up and say, preacher, pray for me. I see your hand in the back. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? Just raise, I see your hand in the middle. Anybody else? Just shoot your hand up real high. I see your hand in the back. Is there anybody else? Good, come on somebody. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Good, yeah, good. Hallelujah. You three people that raised your hand, you might be wondering why everybody's shouting for this. This is why we do what we do, is to help people come to that point to declare Jesus is Lord. In fact, why don't we all pray this prayer together? You three and all of us, if you believe it in your heart, say it out loud, declare it out loud. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I repent and I turn to you to be the Lord of my life. I receive forgiveness and I receive eternal life. Thank you for loving me when I didn't love you. Thank you for being faithful to me when I was faithless. Thank you for giving me life when my words spoke death. I love you, Jesus, and I'll live for you every day for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, what you say? Amen, amen. Hey, you three people, come on, somebody, yeah! Man, I'm so proud of you. That's one of those decisions you'll never regret. Like when you die and you go to heaven, you're like, yeah, I made the right decision. That was the right call to make Jesus Lord.